Most everybody here has heard of the Masoretic text. And they fully admit their part in the corruption. But I've given you now four others, or maybe five others, that you hadn't heard before. Come on. And it's one on another. It's levels of it, you see. And we'll get into some of those actual examples as we get into our lesson tonight. I'll give you specific examples as I get into it. Take, for instance, as long as you've started that, let's turn this off and just get right into it. I'm going to take Numbers chapter 24, Numbers 24, 16. The following is a study of every reference in the Bible to the name of God El Elyon, incorrectly translated various ways and suspected to have been purposefully corrupted by some of the scribes. Oh, I misspelled corrupted there. It's been corrupted. All right, I'll have to go back and fix that. Numbers 24:16. Write that down. That's the first one. And since you've asked about the Rotherham Bible, I will tell you. In Numbers 24:16, Rotherham does suppress the word El Elyon. When I say suppress, that means in reading the Rotherham Bible, you will never know that it's El Elyon. Now, I did not go into the detail. My purpose tonight is not to find fault with anybody's Bible. You understand that? But I just went into the detail enough to know that Rotherham was not good enough to suffice for my scholarly approach. I had to get another source. For instance, I'll give you some more. The Holy Name Bible, Scripture Research Association, does suppress El Elyon in this scripture. The restoration of the original Sacred Name Bible does suppress it in this scripture. The New American Standard does show El Elyon in the margin, but not in the scripture. So then, three. Now I'd like to teach the verse. But before I teach the verse, I've got to give a little preparation here. And what I'm trying to say is that I came to the conclusion, looking in as many different Bibles as I know how to find, who are trying to restore the names of God, everyone that I named so far, their goal is to restore Yahweh. But their goal does not seem to be to restore all the names, only that one. Now, at times, I will say that their scholars did give us good clues, and in the margin said, now, when it says Most High God, it really means El Elyon. When it says Almighty, it really means El Shaddai. They put those in their notes, you see, but they didn't really restore those names. They restored the name that they had, I guess you'd say, had some religious thing on and wanted to restore. That's all. Now, in saying that, do you feel like I'm mad at anybody? Putting anybody down? If I wanted to study the restoration of the name Yahweh, I have a lot of books to go to. But if I wanted to study the restoration of any of the other names, this is the only place I know where you can get this information tonight. Now, I'm going to read. Numbers 24:16. Balaam was speaking and he said, listen, the oracle of him who hears the sayings of El and knows the knowledge of El Elyon, who sees the vision of El Shaddai. Now, did you hear what he said? Balaam speaking and he said, in order to be a prophet, you didn't catch that. In order to be a prophet, you must hear El. You must know knowledge of El Elyon and see a vision of El Shaddai. Would you agree that Balaam had an indication that there were three different names for God and he used them according to a pattern that I'll show you later on that is absolutely consistent? Hear, know, see. Do you follow what I'm doing on this? And would you also agree that that information has never been taught to you before? You never saw those three before, and you didn't even know that Balaam was using those three, not interchangeably, but very technically correctly. You see. Now, to my way of thinking, We are in a very historical, we're in a very awesome time. And it's conceivable that historians may look upon this particular time frame perhaps with the same awe that we're looking at it right now. I hope that they write correctly about what we're seeing. But we're documenting. We're putting this in a book form. We're putting it in notes form. We're putting it in tape form. And by the grace of God, you'll be able to get it in every form so that you may study it. You may use it as your authority. And there'll not be one word said that is outside of the Bible. But you heard me warn you, God is starting a new religion. And the consciousness of this new religion is the El Elyon consciousness, not the Yahweh and not the El Shaddai consciousness. We had some scriptures the other day, and I'll start to read them now about the difference in the consciousness. No, I want to get one or two in this order first, and then in Deuteronomy 32:8. Write that down. Deuteronomy 32:8. King James does suppress. Holy Name Bible does suppress. Restoration Sacred Name Bible does suppress. Rotherham does suppress. New American Standard does suppress. Now, I told you in that case that in Deuteronomy 32:38, every one of the sources that I can study does suppress the word El Elyon. Therefore, I have concluded the only source available was Strong's Concordance. And when I concluded that, it meant many nights till 3 a.m. in the morning, night after night after night, going through reference after reference. Are you seeing what I'm doing on this? And I'm qualifying my own scholarship with authorities and saying why I couldn't use certain authorities and why I had to use others. That's all. That's what this is all about. From now on, I will not burden you anymore with which Bible says which, but from this point on, I will tell you what the original, what the transmitted text says and what and the way it should be translated. You follow? But up to this point, I had to kind of build a foundation as to where we're coming from. All right. Deuteronomy 32:8, translation. When Elyon gave the nations their inheritance. Now look here. Who gave the nations their inheritance? Now what kind of inheritance? Look. What do you get for an inheritance? Material things. When Elyon gave the nations their inheritance, he separated the sons of man. That could be translated Adam. He set the boundaries of the people according to the number of the sons of Israel. We shall see that El Elyon is particularly interested in nations, boundaries, kingdoms, and kings. Did you hear me? Particularly interested in these things. Next. The next two scriptures that I'm going to give you slipped by the corruptors to supply us with some of the most important clues showing the differences in the names of God. I'm going to say that again. The next two scriptures, I would asterisk, because they slipped by those guys, and there's absolutely no question. Well, sometimes I think that God purposely lets people pull the wool over your eye. You know what? The cover's over. But he always, you've heard of that, what they call it, the scarlet thread? He always gives clues right along the way. So that anyone who, you know, at the right time, when the Holy Ghost shines the illumination of knowledge and the Holy Spirit on that, then you can get it out. Now, here's two of them that are important. Genesis 14:18-22. And Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. He was priest of... Say it. El Elyon. Yeah, he was king of Salem, but he was priest of El Elyon. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of El Elyon. Are you hearing this? Now, in your Bible, it doesn't say that. It says, you know, the Most High God. All right. Possessor of heaven and earth. El Elyon is the possessor not only of spiritual things, but also temporal. And blessed be El Elyon, which hath delivered thine enemies in thy hand, and he gave him tithes of all. Now, tithes are in what realm? Temporal, physical, earthly realm. The king of Sodom said unto Abram, Give me the persons and take the goods that I sell. And he even said unto the king of Sodom, I have lift up my hand unto Yahweh El Elyon. I'm submitting for your analysis that the word Yahweh was no doubt inserted by the Yahwehist corruption at the time shown you on the chart. That was stuck in there because those guys couldn't believe that Yahweh wasn't there. Did you hear that? The possessor of heaven and earth. Now, there's no way for you to fully grasp all this. I'm going to give you so many scriptures tonight, you know, but try to get the whole, the basis of the meaning, and the individuals, they're all on the tape. You can go back, check later on. Also, you'll be able to avail yourself of the book and our notes later on, though at the moment, you know, I can't do anything with it. We just can't publish and print that fast. But we'll give them to you. Exodus 6:23, write it down. Now, this is in connection with what we've just said. And Elohim, watch me, and Elohim, see this, spake unto Moses and said, I am Yahweh. I appeared unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as El Shaddai, but by the name of Yahweh was I not known to them. I'm going to say that again because I'm not sure that you followed that all the way. Watch me. Elohim, the Creator God, what is it? Exodus 6, 2 and 3. Did I say 23? That's the second time I've done that. All right. Exodus 6, 2 and 3. Thank you. All right. Let's all come back and do it again. And Elohim, it says there, God, doesn't it? And God said to Moses, well, I'm telling you what it really says. And Elohim said to Moses, I am Yahweh. Watch me. The Creator God said to Moses, I am Yahweh, the God of Israel. The Father God, the masculine, overshadowing, projector, winner God. I appeared unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob by the name of El Shaddai, but by my name Yahweh was I not known to them. Did you hear that? Thus we know from Scripture that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob never used, never knew, had no comprehension of the God of Israel. Their comprehension of God was El Shaddai. Now at this point I've got to stop and tell you this. Every time God brings a new age and a new movement on the earth, He changes His name. He changes our awareness of His nature. I don't know whether you caught that or not. Did you hear this difference? Our awareness of us, He reveals Himself in another beautiful facet of that same jewel. He changes His law. Come on. Tells you in Hebrews, the priesthood being changed there is also therefore a necessity, a change of the law. Hebrews 7. Come on, you Bible students, tell the others I'm telling the truth. He changes His name, He changes His nature, He changes His law, He changes His temple, He changes His altar. Every time that there is a major change on the face of this earth, our concept of God changes, He sets up a new religion. I'm submitting for your analysis that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Joseph, and all those guys who were over there had a religion based on, say it, El Shaddai. But when Moses came along, he met and the Creator, Elohim, who is El Shaddai, who is Yahweh, said to Moses, I am, as far as you're concerned, Yahweh, and you're going to know me by a whole new nature now because you're not a bunch of slaves living in Egypt anymore. Now you're going to have to get out and fight. And what do? When you fight? You have a masculine, forceful, overshadowing, projective, pushy. All right, let's do it another way. There was a time when an angel went out and he had a sword and he killed 185,000 in one night. You remember that? All right, which God? You got it. You see what I'm talking about. Now you got a thought. You don't have a thought. You're just having a hallelujah spell. All right. Okay. Okay. Am I going too fast? Are you following me? I sure don't want to lead you astray.
3:14, where I am.
All right.
That's Yahweh. Is that right?
All I can say is in that case, it's a derivation of the word to be. I am. It's translated by a verb. Yahweh is translated by a verb, is what I'm trying to say. I am whatever I want to be.
Whatever I want to become?
Whatever I want to be. Present. I am what I want to be. Let me do it another way. Of the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, which one's the most important? The one you need at the time. Oh, there's your answer right there. You say, I am whatever I want to be. If you need a provider, I'm your provider. You need a healer, I'm your healer. If you need abundant life, I bring that. Do you see what I'm talking about? I am whatever I want to be at the time you need me. You say, I am. That's my name. Tell me who sends you. All right. Now, this shows the 2 scriptures I gave you just now, the Genesis 14 and the Exodus 6, shows that Yahweh was inserted into Genesis 14 at a later date, thus corrupting the names of God. It's just that simple. There's proof. You don't have to be, can I say, you don't have to be too analytical or too brilliant to see that. If you know anything about Bible history, you know that it couldn't. He couldn't have been praying. You see, in Genesis, over and over again, we find Abraham praying to Yahweh. He didn't pray to Yahweh. It was inserted by the corrupting copyists. And I can prove it with those charts that I just gave you. Yes?
Yes, and like in the 2nd chapter of Genesis, when it says, when the Lord God made, well, Lord is Yahweh there.
Mm-hmm. Yahweh there. Elohim.
Is that corrupted or is that...
That's corrupted.
Is it back there too?
Now let's do it again. Everything in Genesis through Deuteronomy is corrupted that we know, and I can prove it to you. Now, in the others, I can't prove with the same authority, but I can prove with the same pattern. You see what I'm doing? Now, the truth of the matter is, it was always, always, things that are created by the Creator. And the name of the Creator is Elohim. But the corrupter added, I am Yahweh Elohim. You see? He inserted that because it fit his denominational concept. That's the way they baptized.
Could that, there's a big teaching going around now at the names of God in the sense of Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Sikkenu, Jehovah Rofi. Could that be just the facets of the aspect of Yahweh?
Yes. Now, on the back of your chart that I gave you last week, I gave you all those. 7 aspects of El and 7 of Yahweh. Now, as you know, we said that would be a complete lesson, but not an exhaustive. And so we're not going to go into the exhaustive aspects of El and Yahweh. We're going into the exhaustive aspects of El Elyon. You see, that's what I'm headed for now. And why do I want to know the exhaustive study of El Elyon? Because El Elyon is the Most High God, and it says those that are going to become kings and priests and overcome the last enemy, which is death, are going to know God after his aspect of El Elyon. So why be interested in El Elyon? Because I'm interested in the Melchizedek priesthood and overcoming the last enemy, which is death. And I want to study the scriptures that have to do with overcoming death, you see, and being alive and remain to the coming of the Christ. So then, the exhaustive study is on this section, not that I am minimizing the importance of any of those other words. Did you hear me carefully? And we'll get on that in a little. I'll really hit that hard as we get into this lesson. I would never minimize anything about God. I'm always maximizing. And in this case, I'm maximizing the concept of overcoming in the last area. Let's do it again, if you didn't catch that all the way. Jesus Christ saved me in spirit. The Holy Ghost sent the engrafted the word into my soul. But it's going to take the El Elyon, the glory of El Elyon, in my body. Did you hear it? Spirit, soul, body. You see what I'm doing here on this chart? In order to perfect us all the way, spirit, soul, and body. Now, we're all good Baptists and we all said yes to Jesus, right? Come on, you Calvinists. We're all good Wesleyans, and we said yes to the Holy Ghost, right? Now we're Arminians. And now we got to go on beyond the concept of Yahweh, beyond the concept of El Shaddai, to the concept of El Elyon. But don't you see that in order to come into the concept of El Elyon and the nature of God in that respect, we can't turn to any established structure, church, or religion. Why? Because their concepts are either on Calvinism, Wesleyanism, you know what I'm talking about, all the Roman Catholic Judaism church, Yahweh-ish, with a little of it spreading over in the El Shaddai. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is that they just don't have the concepts to answer your questions about overcoming the last enemy. They don't talk about it, they don't think about it, they don't write about it, because their God didn't speak about it. You see what I'm saying? Their God, when I said their God, how many, well, you remember we taught last time, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is. When I say that, you understand, I'm qualifying it whenever I do that, that the facet of God, because it's all one. See, so don't misunderstand us there. Okay, let me go on. 2 Samuel 22:14. Turn to it, please. 2 Samuel 22:14. Or no, don't turn. If you want to, follow me, but write it down. Be sure to write it. 2 Samuel 2:14. 22:14. Sorry. Yahweh thundered from heaven, and Elyon uttered his voice. Now this is going to be a shocker to you. Yahweh thundered from heaven, and El Elyon uttered his voice. It says in your Bible, Jehovah, but remember, Jehovah was inserted by the English translators, a made-up word for Yahweh. So here we have a corruption on a corruption of a corruption. Now you're going to find a pattern here about Yahweh and El Elyon, and you're going to see some things later on as we praise and so forth, and see a pattern about voices and who does what. Psalm 7:17. Did you notice that we jumped from Genesis to Exodus, and then all the way over to 2 Samuel, and 2 Samuel was a psalm of David, and what I just read in 2 Samuel 22 was nothing but a psalm that's repeated over in the book of Psalms. So what I'm trying to say is, the concept of El Elyon was lost from Genesis. I'm on 7:17. Now, hear me. The concept of El Elyon was lost from Genesis to King David. I speak with authority tonight. I know what I'm talking about. And you know, God told me the heavenly host told me to quit teaching apologetically and teach with power and authority. So I'm speaking forth differently than I normally do, and I'll have to say this. It's conceivable that the teacher you're listening to tonight is not the teacher that you met several years ago. It's conceivable that I'm a different person. I'm coming on differently. I'm coming on with power and authority and absolute statements, not apologetically, but this is the way it is. I'm laying it out flat, and I'm giving you enough, you know, chance to check me out later on. And you know why I'm giving you all this chance to check me out? Because I believe after you check it out, you're going to say he's right. Then if you've come to the conclusion he's right, then there's no other conclusion but to get in step with the new way God's moving. Psalm 7:17, I will praise Yahweh according to his righteousness. I will sing praise to the name of El Elyon. Did you notice that he's singing to El Elyon and he is speaking praise to Yahweh? You will discover a pattern as it continues to unfold, where the singing praise is to El Elyon, without exception. The spoken praise is to Yahweh. The pattern is here. Now, to me, this is thrilling. I don't know about you. You know, that's all right. You can act like a Pentecostal or something, whatever you'd like. But when I have begun to see these patterns, it just blows the top off. And I'm teaching you patterns that are easily detected after you've been over it once. You'll have to say the guy's right. And his patterns we've never seen before. There are those who say that Yahweh is the only name of God. They say Elyon is a title. Watch me. There are those who write books, and I got a whole bunch of them right now on my desk, say that Yahweh is the only name of God, and Elyon is the title of God. I'm going to read this again. I will praise Yahweh according to his righteousness and sing praise to the name of El Elyon. Did you hear that? Psalm 7:17 defeats that idea. Yahweh is the name of the God of Israel. And El Elyon is the name of the Most High God. Did you hear that? Yahweh is admittedly and magnifyingly the God of Israel. No argument, no question. Sorry, I didn't put that there so I couldn't see. I saw put it there so I could see this. The God of Israel is Yahweh. So then you would expect Israel to follow Yahwehistic tendencies. A concept of God is going to lead a nation to be a warring, pushy, forceful, aggressive, overshadowing. People with chip in their shoulder. You know what I'm doing. But I'm also describing your denomination. I would point at everybody then. So because your denomination's concept of God is Yahwehistic. Because your religion is Judeo-Christianity. Come on. You're directly descended from that concept. And when I say you, do you feel like I'm being nasty to you? Or don't you think that this is a relief to know it? To be able to, you know, put the B on it and say, well, that's what the trouble is. Israel, Catholic, and Protestant concepts of God are for the most part based on Yahweh. Hence, their failure in present society. Just that simple. Psalm 9:2. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, El Elyon. Did you see it? The name of that's getting the singing praise is, say it, El Elyon. Okay. Psalm 18:13. Now, I'm going to go fast right now because I've got just a multitude of them, and I want you to write them or at least get the tape. Psalm 18:13. Yahweh also thundered in the heavens, and El Elyon gave his voice. Hail, stones, and coals of fire. I believe that's very closely associated with 2 Samuel, the one I just gave you. Psalm 21:7. You want to review? 18:13. Psalm 21:7. For the king trusteth in Yahweh, and through the mercy of El Elyon he shall not be moved. Now you're going to see something. David trusts in Yahweh for victory in battle. And he relies on the mercy of El Elyon, so he, David, will not be moved. Because El Elyon sets up kingdoms and removes them. So his desire for mercy is directed toward, but his desire for victory in battle is directed toward, are you seeing this? David knew how to pray. He knew the differences in those facets of the Godhead and recognized that from certain facets there would be a certain area of interest. And listen, friend, after this is over tonight, you're going to say, without exception, what you and I have seen tonight, the pattern is exactly the same in every scripture.
This Bible teaching by David Ebel will continue on cassette number 2.